Soybeans have hundreds of uses, from industrial products like engine oil to food products and animal feeds. They're rich in protein and oil, and they have the highest natural source of dietary fiber, one of the most versatile crops in the world. Farmers in Ohio produce almost 300 million bushels of soybeans each year. This week, find out more about Ohio's soybean industry, along with the challenges and opportunities for one of Ohio's most popular crops.
From the Ohio Farm Bureau Studio, this is our Ohio Weekly, highlighting those who grow our food, fiber, and fuel, while examining issues that are important for farmers and their neighbors throughout the Buckeye State. Our Ohio Weekly is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Here's our Ohio Weekly host, Ty Higgins.
Creating opportunities and increasing demand for soybeans means farmers that grow that commodity will get more money for every bushel. That's the task for the Ohio Soybean Council, more commonly known as the Soybean Checkoff. Promoting effective policies and legislation at the state and national levels for those same farmers falls in the purview of the Ohio Soybean Association. We have leaders from both organizations with us this week. Kirk Merritt, Executive Director of the Ohio Soybean Council and Ohio Soybean Association, and Ryan Rhodes is President of the Ohio Soybean Association, also a farmer in Marion County. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us this week.
Thank you, Ty.
So, Kirk, I think I covered the distinction between OSC and OSA pretty well, but you oversee them both. How'd I do?
Great, Ty, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning. As you said, the Soybean Council is an organization whose mission is to invest the soybean checkoff in ways that benefit soybean farmers here in Ohio. The Soybean Association is all about advocacy and generating good policy that benefits soybean farmers here in Ohio as well.
How long have you been executive director?
I've been executive director for 11 years. I've been with the organization going on 14 years.
Let's start from the very beginning. For those that don't know, how does the Soybean Checkoff program work, and what's the return on that investment for Ohio soybean farmers?
The Soybean Checkoff is a very small assessment that every soybean farmer pays when they go in the elevator and drop their beans off. It's 0.5%. So for every bushel, hypothetically, that would be $10 at the elevator, a nickel comes to us. Our board then decides how to invest that. Our board is made up of farmers, for the most part, full-time farmers from around the state, elected by their peers. So they have the best interests of Ohio soybean farmers at heart. We're very focused on return on investment with the checkoff. The board has several goals that they are pursuing. We invest in research to benefit soybean farmers, how to grow the plant better, how to make it more disease resistant. We also try to generate more demand, export demand, demand for biodiesel, demand for soybeans and soybean products. And then we also provide significant education tools to farmers around the research that we do around the latest and greatest on growing soybeans and on getting the most out of their investment. And then also education more to the general public and to students around soybeans and the impact of soybeans to Ohio.
We'll talk more about all those efforts in just a bit. Ryan, I mentioned that you farm in Marion County. Tell me about you and your operation.
I farm in partnership with my dad. I'm a third-generation farmer. We have corn, soybeans, and wheat. Soybeans is probably our main crop. Most of our acres are in Delaware County, but I live in Marion County and farm there with my dad.
What caused you to want to be a leader as you are now president of the Ohio Soybean Association?
The biggest reason I got involved is because I enjoy doing it. There's times it's challenging. It's a lot of work. But, you know, two things I kind of grew up with is that a farmer never quits. And the wheel that squeaks the loudest gets the grease. And if we're not involved as farmers, if we're not a farmer-led organization, we're gonna suffer. So it's either get involved or get passed by, in my opinion. But and I don't want that to happen. I want my farm and my family's future to continue. And the only way to do that is to be where the leaders are at. And that's why I joined and got involved with the Ohio Soybean Association.
You alluded to the challenges that farmers face year in and year out. 2020, though, unprecedented as far as some of those challenges. You're in the middle of harvest now. How was 2020 for you as a farmer, and how was it as the president of OSA?
As a farmer, it's been challenging. I've never had to Lysol down a tractor that we spread manure with. Who would ever thought you'd have to do that with COVID? But that's what we're doing. We're masking up. We're keeping people on certain equipment. So that's been a challenge on the farm side. The leadership time is frankly making time. You know, a long hour, sometimes not even 3 or 4 hours of sleep, but finding the time. You know, coordinating things. Let me back up. We have a great staff that keeps us, the board members specifically, in check and in line and knowing what's going on. And we rely on them heavily. So I think it's our partnership with our staff, Kirk, Emily, Julia, anybody I've missed. They do a tremendous job at the office to keep us in line and to keep us on task. Because sometimes you go 100 miles an hour, but they keep us between the lines, so to speak. So the time is what everybody needs the most.
Ryan Rhodes is president of the Ohio Soybean Association. He farms in Marion and Delaware counties. Kirk Merritt joins us as well this week on our Ohio Weekly, executive director of the Ohio Soybean Council and Ohio Soybean Association. And Kirk, obviously, the goal for all those bushels of beans that Ryan and farmers all across Ohio grow is to find a home for them. And over hundreds of millions of bushels grown in Ohio of soybeans every year. How have the challenges of 2020 impacted those efforts?
That's a really good question. As you said earlier, Ty, 2020 has been unprecedented. The early part of the year as COVID hit was very disruptive to the markets that soybean farmers sell into. When you process a bean, most beans don't get consumed whole. Most beans get processed, and when you process a soybean, you get meal, which is mainly the protein from the bean, and you get oil, which is the fat from the bean, very healthy kind of fat. So most of the meal, the vast majority of the meal goes into livestock feed. The vast majority of the oil goes into cooking oil or biodiesel. So those are three very important markets for soybean farmers, all of which were very severely hit by COVID. Food service, restaurants, grocery stores, all were significantly impacted. So the livestock market that we sell into was challenged. Obviously the fuel markets were also challenged. The biodiesel market for soy biodiesel dropped about 20% earlier in the year. It has rebounded, and we're actually looking at maybe 8 to 10% overall being down for the year. So significant, but maybe not as bad as we might have thought. One other aspect of demand, as we're talking about demand for soybean, is the international market. The export markets are extremely important for soybean farmers. About 60% of our crop in a usual year gets exported. That export business has generally held up pretty well, and that's been maybe a silver lining, if you will. China has been a market that we've sold into significantly over the last 5, 10, 15 years. With the trade tensions in the last couple of years, China is off. But the good news is several other markets have increased significantly. Mexico is now our number two market. Egypt was barely a market 4 or 5 years ago. It's our third largest market now. Markets like Japan, Indonesia, Taiwan have continued to be strong. Even markets like Bangladesh and Pakistan are pushing top 10 markets for us now. So we're really trying to diversify and grow that demand. And exports could hit an all-time high this year.
Ryan, I mentioned earlier, when you have opportunities like that across the globe, the price of beans might just go up. But how are they right now, and are they profitable for farmers?
Bean prices are up. We are looking at profitability. That's what we're excited about. I'm excited about it. I'm sorry that the soybean growers who might be listening that we didn't do this sooner, because when you're trying to lock in costs and trying to lock in a profit early, it gets tough. But like Kirk said there earlier, we've worked hard and advocated hard, and we're looking at some real solid soybean numbers. I think I've seen some $11.50 a bushel, which is really good, really good. I don't hear any complaints about that. So we're in a good place right now. I just hope that as an organization, as an advocacy group, we can keep that going. and keep trade a top priority.
We mentioned that the Ohio Soybean Council is on the education side and the outreach side and is part of the checkoff that makes that happen. Ryan's part of the Ohio Soybean Association. But Ryan, you know, it seems like, you know, what the policy does impacts the price of beans, but what happens on the policy front can be a huge factor as well. What are some things that you and your board are keeping an eye on, legislatively speaking, in Columbus and on Capitol Hill right now?
Well, as far as legislation in the State House, we have some... The big one, probably the one I'm getting more and more passionate about, is the beginning farmer legislation. It's House Bills 183 and Senate Bill 159 that allows retiring farmers, older farmers, landowners, quite frankly, to have an outlet and tax incentives to support beginning farmers. Something that's long overdue, in my opinion, that if we want to keep large swaths of Ohio rural and to be competitive with development, I think this is a good direction that we need to head, and this legislation must be considered. And then there's another thing we've been working on for quite a while, House Bill 476, which is the eminent domain bill that gives landowners a few more avenues to pursue at the local level to in regards to recreational type pursuits with eminent domain that I think would be a positive step. I know it would be a positive step for landowners to protect what they've worked hard for.
Kirk, I want you to take off your association hat and put on your council hat, because I want to talk about something very exciting going on. Research goes a long way in finding new uses and new markets, as we've talked about earlier this hour. One of the newest efforts is the Arable Research Lab in Central Ohio. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, the Ohio Soybean Council for many years, this goes back, 20, 25 years, has made it a priority to do research around new uses for soybeans. So, for example, soybean oil, in a lot of cases, is an environmentally friendly way to add into a product. For example, we have a product that we've worked on called Roof Max. It's a roof rejuvenator where soybean oil is the main component for rejuvenating asphalt shingles. You apply this on your asphalt shingles last another 5 years. That's the kind of work we're talking about. So the Arable Research Lab is an effort to take that to the next level. We have lab space at Ohio Wesleyan University in Delaware, a team of researchers led by Barry McGraw from the Ohio Soybean Council staff. He has great experience in this field, and we're really excited about this. So the effort is to innovate, to find new uses for soy, to find new technologies that will eventually help soybean farmers by increasing demand for soybean oil and soybean meal through new products and new technologies. That's the main goal, to increase demand. The byproducts of that, the fortunate benefits of that, are also in the public interest. The products that come out of that are much more environmentally friendly than what they're replacing. They're more sustainable. They're a greener solution going down the road, soy-based products and soy-based technologies. And the other thing we can do in some cases is generate royalties from intellectual property that we then use to reinvest in research. We put that right back into the benefit of the farmers and are able to support research.
Kirk Merritt is Executive Director of the Ohio Soybean Council and Ohio Soybean Association, and Ryan Rhodes is President of the Ohio Soybean Association, also a farmer in Marion County. What are soybean farmers doing about water quality? We'll talk more about that next on Our Ohio Weekly.
Are you a small business owner supporting agriculture, such as farm equipment, food processing, grocery store, or restaurant service? Do you continue to search for reliable and affordable health coverage? Search no more. The Ohio Farm Bureau has taken action to offer a new self-funded medical plan to save on expenses. This new health benefits plan, administered in part by Medical Mutual, offers great rates, expanded well care, and a variety of plans designed to meet your needs. Specialty products available to employees include dental, vision, and disability at specially discounted rates. This plan also includes a 24/7 nurse line and a physician consultation service for your convenience. Search no more. Visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org. Receive your exceptionally discounted quote today. That's ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org. ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org.
Here in Ohio, we grow possibilities. By investing in the Soybean Checkoff, farmers can concentrate on running their operations, while the Ohio Soybean Council creates new opportunities for future generations. The Soybean Checkoff works to get new soy-based products on the market, builds relationships with international buyers, and partners with researchers to increase yield and on-farm profitability. Learn more at soyohio.org/herewegrow. This message brought to you by Ohio Soybean Farmers and their Checkoff.
Brad, let me introduce you to one of the most important people in Peytonville.
Is she the mayor?
No, insurance agent.
She must be really good.
The best. That's why she chooses Nationwide to help protect all the families, businesses, and dreams in Peytonville. People really count on her.
Seems like she's a local celebrity.
She's a local legend.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
With over 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standard-bred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standard-bred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA members and Ohio agriculture is undeniable. Farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses, and in turn, those amazingly fast four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
Stick around. Our Ohio Weekly with Ty Higgins continues following these messages.
You're listening to Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins, and this week we're talking about soybeans. Kirk Merritt is Executive Director of the Ohio Soybean Council and Ohio Soybean Association, and Ryan Rhodes joins us as well. He farms in Marion and Delaware counties, and he's the President of the Ohio Soybean Association. Kirk, you and I and our organizations have been heavily involved in the formation of something called the Ohio Agriculture Conservation Initiative, and that's been the conduit for some unique relationships between agriculture groups, environmental groups, academia, conservation organizations. Talk about OSA's involvement in that space and how you think progress is going there.
We're really excited about the Ohio Agriculture Conservation Initiative, or OACI. It's an unprecedented alliance of agriculture, conservation, environmental groups, state and local government and federal government, and universities. So it's all about improving environmental quality, improving water quality, acknowledging and encouraging farmers to implement more best management practices. Most farmers, vast majority of farmers, are already practicing environmental stewardship, are good environmental stewards, are doing the right thing. The land is the most important asset a farmer has. They want that land to be better than they found it when they pass along to the next generation. So we're really working hard to encourage farmers to implement best management practices that will improve water quality, specifically in the Western Lake Erie Basin, but also statewide. So this is an organization really focused on two things. One is a farm-level farmer certification that does a couple of things. It allows a farmer to be acknowledged and receive recognition for the work they're already doing, and also helps that farmer chart a path forward for taking it to the next level. If you're already doing a great job, there's still something else you can do better. And you know, if it's not something that you've made as high a priority, here's a way to do that. So a certification program that also will link with the H2 Ohio program. Governor DeWine and the state of Ohio have implemented the H2 Ohio program to provide cost share funding to help farmers implement best management practices in the Western Lake Erie Basin. The other thing that the OACI is working on is an assessment of practices that are being used on Ohio agricultural land currently. We don't really have a good answer for what percentage of this practice or that practice is being implemented currently on Ohio acres. So this will the Ohio State University will spearhead that, and will get us a good assessment, a baseline that we can track then over the years and see improvement as we go along.
I like to think that we're ahead of the curve at Ohio Farm Bureau and Ohio Soybean Association for doing things like this, because we're seeing at the national level now more collaboration between groups that really wouldn't have done so maybe 2-3 years ago. We did that with organizations like the Nature Conservancy and the Ohio Environmental Council, and now organizations like your national organization and the American Farm Bureau Federation, we're really putting what farmers do out front as part of the solution to a lot of environmental challenges.
I agree entirely, Ty. I think we, and maybe necessity is the mother of invention. We had the situation in Lake Erie. We have stepped up. We have addressed it. The organizations that you mentioned, all of the Ohio, major Ohio agricultural organizations representing Ohio farmers and livestock producers, grain farmers and livestock producers, state and federal government, universities, and other states are looking at us. The federal government is, or at the federal level, they're also modeling what we're doing. We're very pleased about that. And it's hard work. You know, we meet regularly, we talk regularly, we're really committed to seeing this through.
Kirk Merritt is Executive Director of the Ohio Soybean Council and Ohio Soybean Association, also joined this week by Ryan Rhodes, President of the Ohio Soybean Association. He farms in Marion and Delaware counties. And Ryan, before I let you go, I know you see all the benefits of being part of the checkoff program and the benefits of leading the Ohio Soybean Association, but at the end of the day, your job is to grow a lot of high-quality soybeans and hope to get a fair price for them. So as you look ahead at 2021, what's your outlook as a farmer?
I'm really excited about 2021. I mean, it can only get better. I mean, that's what farmers are always optimistic. I've always tried to be optimistic. We're at a point where we can lock in some profits, and that's exciting. So we're looking ahead. You know, farmers are always thinking about forward contracting, things like that, and marketing our grain. So we have some real opportunities there. We're getting a lot of rain. We're getting, so I don't think we're going to be going into a real difficult spring. Even now, I think, we're getting some rain, so our water table will be up, and there's just a lot to be excited about. I mean, hopefully we can put COVID behind us, and households can get back to normal, and, that's no different for any other farm family. We face the same challenges. So, I'm excited. One other thing I might want to mention is in this age of COVID, I think we all realize how important rural broadband is. There's some things working on there at the state and federal level, quite honestly, that I never mentioned before that I highly encourage that your audience knows about, that now is the time to push for that. I think we've all seen the struggles that families are having. But with that all aside, no, I'm excited about 2021. I don't like to look back. It distracts from the now. So I'm very excited what the future holds for our organization and for farmers.
Kirk, just in the last 20 minutes, we've only scratched the surface of everything that the council does as far as the research and finding those opportunities. For our listeners that want to find out more about your organizations, how can they go about doing that?
They can go to our website, soyohio.org. At that website, they can learn about both the work and the projects and activities of the council and the initiatives of the association.
Kirk Merritt, Executive Director of the Ohio Soybean Council and Ohio Soybean Association, and Ryan Rhodes, President of the Ohio Soybean Association. He farms in Marion and Delaware counties. Appreciate you both being with us this week.
Thanks,
Ty.
Coming up next, meet Christy Bachman. She's the latest Golden Owl Award winner. That's a prize that recognizes the state's top ag educator. We'll hear her story to the beat of agriculture after this on Our Ohio Weekly. This is Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins. Let's turn our attention now to the story of a rural Ohio teacher who recently received the Golden Owl Award. That's a prize recognizing the state's top ag educator. This year's winner was someone whose passion for instruction was always there, but it took some time to take root. Here's this week's To the Beat of Agriculture.
Christy Bachman, Bloom Carroll High School, agriculture education instructor and FFA advisor. I'm in my 18th year of teaching. I graduated in high school and went to Ohio State University and majored in ag education and ag communication. And being the really bright college student at the time, I said I was never going to be a teacher. And I dropped to my teaching degree at the time and decided to go straight communication. Nothing wrong with that. I was able to work for WRFD Radio. I was able to have an internship in Texas. I also did public relations work for the Ohio Pork Producer Council. But I really still, my heart still led me back to FFA and 4-H. I was very active in that growing up. I kept volunteering to help with a contest or help train teams and that sort of thing. At one point, my husband said, you know, you're doing so much volunteering, maybe that you get a job teaching agriculture education. Now, at the time, I was married to a farmer who raises apples, and apple trees do not move. So that was a very risky move to basically say, hey, I'm going to quit my job, go back to school, get my ag ed degree, and hope for the best. And I was just very fortunate that there were some positions that came available in Fairfield County within 10 to 15 minutes of my home. So that was kind of my sign that I was supposed to be teaching. Probably the most rewarding part of the job that I have now is seeing young people really blossom into adults that have a great success and a great future for them. Because typically as an ag educator, you get to have kids starting in the eighth grade, and then a lot of times they will stay with you until their senior year. So from eighth grade to 12th grade, there's a lot of growth in those teenage years. And so that's kind of what really drives me, just to really help kids, push them to learn more about agriculture education, potentially go into careers with ag education. But if they don't, they definitely know where their food and fiber comes from, and that's so important in today's society. Well, last spring, they told us on Friday that on Monday you're going full remote. So we had to figure out very quickly how to reach kids and make sure that we could still offer some quality programming for them. I'll be honest, for me as a hands-on teacher, it was the most challenging time of my teaching career. I felt like I was on call 24/7. Teenagers and people my age don't follow the same schedule, if you know what I mean. They're up in the middle of the night doing their work and maybe reaching out to you late in the evenings with questions. And so it just seemed like, we were on 24/7. We utilized Google Classroom primarily with everything that I did. I actually tried to send out good videos that they could learn from. I also sent some hands-on activities for them to do at home. One in particular, they had to go get a jar and they had to go get soil out of the back of their backyard or whatever, add some water to it and shake it up and let it settle out. And that's how you measure the different sand, silt, and clay particles so they can learn how to do soil textures. So we tried everything we could to at least still have some hands-on learning with them. At the same time, I had 200 tilapia in a tank here at school that I was over here feeding every day when the students were gone. And so we'd take videos of the tilapia as we were weighing them and doing some things with them so they could keep tabs on them, because we're very interested in that project, because we were hoping to have a fish fry at the end of this last year's school. Fortunately, we were able to get the fish to a hobby producer here in our school district that he was able to go ahead and take them and feed them on out. We changed a lot and had to just, we were on plan D, E, F almost every day, it seemed like. I didn't realize that I was nominated until I received a certificate in the mail that said I was nominated. And so I was really surprised about that. And then I knew I was nominated, and so that was cool. I thought that was pretty cool. I didn't really know who did it for sure. And then some of the students kind of let it out of the bag. And then eventually my student teacher that I had a couple years ago, she also submitted a nomination as well. They come to the school and they had me come down to the gym for some reason. They said we were going to get an FFA picture. And I'm like, we already did school pictures. We already did the yearbook pictures. What do I need to come down there for? And you walk in the gym and all your students are sitting in the bleachers and all the Farm Bureau and Nationwide bigwigs are there. And it's like, whoa, okay. So that was when they named you the top 10. That was pretty cool. And then, of course, because we weren't able to have a convention this year in person, they announced the winner of the overall winner virtually in the first week of May during the state convention. It felt great. It felt great. But, yeah, it really neat to be recognized. I'll tell you what, to be on that short list of teachers that were in the top 10, there's some really great teachers. And, I'm always, always looking for new ideas and that sort of thing. That I was very humbled to be part of that elite group. And, Mr. Polson, who had won it the year before, I have high, high respect for him. So just very humbling. I feel real comfortable about, the career and what we've had, we want to continue to do some things at home at the orchard. And so when I step out of teaching, I'll probably just continue to work for the orchard or work with the orchard until the youngins say we're too old and we don't know anything.
Congratulations again to Christy Bachman, this year's winner of the Golden Owl Award. If you'd like to nominate an ag educator for this distinguished award, visit ofbf.org and search Golden Owl. That's ofbf.org and look for Golden Owl. We'll be right back on Our Ohio Weekly.
Brad, let me introduce you to one of the most important people in Paytonville.
Is she the mayor?
No, insurance agent.
She must be really good.
The best. That's why she chooses Nationwide to help protect all the families, businesses, and dreams in Paytonville. People really count on her.
Seems like she's a local celebrity.
She's a local legend.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
For many, the COVID-19 crisis made it feel like the world stopped. But for Ohio Farm Bureau and our members, the work never did. As you spend early mornings in the barn and late nights in the field, Ohio Farm Bureau continues to be at the forefront, advocating and educating to help our members navigate through these challenges. Ohio's resilient agriculture community will get through this with the strength of the state's largest farm organization. Get updates and become a member at ofbf.org/stillfarming. Ohio Farm Bureau, together with farmers.
Ohio Farm Bureau is proud to announce its new partnership with the Ford Motor Company. And it's good news for Farm Bureau members. Members get $500 in bonus cash on eligible new Ford cars and trucks, or $750 in bonus cash on eligible Lincoln vehicles. Not a member? Well, join now and in 30 days, you're eligible. For complete information on program details, visit ofbf.org.
Have you heard about the Ohio Farm Bureau Energy Program? Eligible members are saving an average of 15% on their electric and natural gas bills. The program works through a network of suppliers to secure cost-saving pricing in competitive electric and natural gas regions. We've heard from members who've saved hundreds of dollars annually on their energy costs. Getting started is easy. Simply call the Energy Program customer service line, 800-830-3501, and our representative will assist you from there. 800-830-3501. You can also visit ofbf.org/savings to learn more.
Our Ohio Weekly with Ty Higgins continues after this.
Welcome back to Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins. For the first time in its nearly more than 100-year history, Ohio Farm Bureau's annual meeting will be largely held remotely across the state starting next week. Melinda Witten joins us. She's Senior Director of Leadership Development with Ohio Farm Bureau. Hi, Melinda.
Hello.
You've been working very hard behind the scenes, and we'll talk about what it takes to put on an annual meeting without actually putting on an annual meeting in just a bit. But we're saying remotely for a reason. I want to talk about that a little bit because we hear the word virtual quite a bit. But we use the word remotely because there is going to be a hybrid of ways that members can join us and take part in a lot of the sessions coming up next week.
That's correct. Members can join from the comfort of their own home, or they can join together in small groups around their counties with other delegates to participate in our policy session on Friday, December the 11th. So we aren't saying it's a virtual annual meeting, because if our delegates do want to get together to caucus and discuss the policies and they feel comfortable doing so, then several of those members will do that across the state.
For those who haven't attended Ohio Farm Bureau's annual meeting, regularly in person is really just a celebration and a culmination of all the hard work that our members and our organization has done over the past 12 months of that particular year. So this year is going to be a little bit different, but you have to look at the positives. There are some great things coming out of this. One of them, Melinda, is being this celebration is now a week long instead of just 2 days. So what is on the agenda starting on Monday and through the whole week?
On Monday, we are kicking off our week-long member celebration with an opening session with President Frank Burkett, Nationwide's Kurt Walker, and Ohio Farm Bureau's Executive Vice President Adam Sharp. And then we get to continue our member celebrations on into Tuesday, where we are excited that Nationwide is hosting a webinar for all of our members, exclusively for our members, on succession planning through family harmony. And one lucky attendee of that webinar will be a winner of a signed helmet by Coach Ryan Day. So we're super excited about that. Then Wednesday, we move into holding up our member celebration, our volunteers. So our Murray Lincoln Award winners will be recognized, and those are folks who have signed 50 members or more, as well as our county activities of excellence. And then on Thursday is the big night, the exciting night, where we get to hold up our three Young Ag Professional Contest winners, as well as our three Distinguished Service Award and Cooperative Education Award winners.
Then on Friday comes the business session, and that's where our members, our delegates from around the state, will have a chance to vote on policies that are brought to the floor, as they normally would be in Columbus year in and year out. Talk about what goes on behind the scenes, because, you know, not only do you have to put all these programs together, you and your team, and I guess all of us have some part to do with this annual meeting being held remote, but it seems like that there was more work going into putting on a remote annual meeting than there would have been putting on an actual annual meeting. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. And if I have one more person say it's easier to do a virtual than in person, right? You're crazy. No way. It's harder. So much so that we typically have two staff who have led the efforts for our in-person annual meeting, and they just know how to do it like in their sleep. They know how to do it with no questions asked. But shifting over to a virtual annual meeting, the three of us have worked really hard. The team of us have worked really hard to make sure that everything we are doing in a virtual space is compliant with our code and how we as an organization say this is an acceptable way to vote on our leadership, to vote on our policies. And so we've had to work really hard to make sure that we can make that happen in a virtual space. And it's been fun. It's been challenging. But the three of us, Chip, Julie, and I just have put a lot of work into pivoting into a virtual space.
I mentioned some of the positives that go along with this pivot, so to speak, for annual meeting. One of them is that it's pretty unlimited as to who can join us. Obviously, we want our members to take part, but there could be a chance here for those that aren't members of Ohio Farm Bureau to log on and celebrate with us throughout the week and figure out what we're all about and what our members are all about.
Well, that's 100% true. And whenever we come across a challenging issue that we have to work through, we always stop and say, but the bright side of this is that all of our members will have access to see what happens at an annual meeting, not just the 380 delegates that are typically in the room. And that causes us to pause and be like, what, this is exciting. This is important work. We're very excited that all of our members will have an opportunity to celebrate our volunteer winners and volunteer leaders and contest winners, but also to see how our organization determines the policies for our public policy staff to work on for the next year.
Anybody's invited to attend, and we certainly hope you'll join us at some point this week for the 2020 Ohio Farm Bureau annual meeting being held remotely. And you can find out how to join us online at ofbf.org/AM2020. ofbf.org/AM2020. Melinda Witten, Senior Director of Leadership Development with Ohio Farm Bureau. Appreciate all your hard work and all the time put into this, and looking forward to a great week.
We are too. Thank you so much.
Melinda mentioned the County Awards of Excellence winners. We had more in Ohio than any other state recognized by the American Farm Bureau Federation. We'll hear about one of those events that happened last year that was recognized nationwide next. A lot of young people don't think they need to worry about estate planning until they're maybe in their 40s or 50s, but anyone who has minor children should have an estate plan in place. Evan Batchelor is an attorney with Wright & Moore, and Evan, I understand someone younger worried about estate planning if they have many assets, but it's just as important if they don't.
Absolutely, Ty. So even if someone doesn't have a lot of assets, the most important thing to them is still their child. So by having an estate plan in place, you can name a guardian who would look after your child in case something happens to you or your spouse. And this is planning for the unexpected. If you do have a lot of assets, having an estate plan in place allows you to make a plan to make sure that the assets are managed for your child in a way that you would want it to be. So the default could mean that if you don't have an estate plan in place, your child would at 18 receive pretty much all of your estate. But a lot of our clients don't like 18-year-olds having a lot of assets all at once. So by having an estate plan in place, you can kind of have a say in how that plan plays out. So you could put restrictions on whether your child gets assets at 21, 25, 30, or however you want it to work out.
obviously assets are an important part of any estate plan, but if we're talking about these younger folks with minors, what other things should they be thinking about as they make that succession plan for them?
So some of the other considerations you want to have in coming up with your estate plan is making sure other people know your wishes. So we can prepare all the documents that you need, but when we're talking about guardians or trustees, you also want to talk with those people in advance to make sure that they're on the same page and that they're willing to serve in those roles.
Evan Batchelor is an attorney with Wright & Moore. Visit him online at ohiofarmlaw.com. That's ohiofarmlaw.com. More Our Ohio Weekly next.
Are you a small business owner supporting and involved with agriculture such as farm equipment, food processing, grocery store, or restaurant service? Do you continue to search for reliable and affordable health coverage? Then search no more. The Ohio Farm Bureau has taken action to offer a new self-funded medical plan to save on expenses. This new health benefits plan, administered in part by Medical Mutual, offers great rates, expanded well care, fixed monthly payments, and a variety of plan designs to meet your needs. Specialty products available to employees include dental, vision, and disability at specially discounted rates. This plan also includes a 24/7 nurse line and a physician consultation service for your convenience. Search no more. Visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org. Receive your exceptionally discounted quote today. That's ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org.
Brad, let me introduce you to one of the most important people in Peytonville.
Is she the mayor?
No, insurance agent.
She must be really good.
The best. That's why she chooses Nationwide to help protect all the families, businesses, and dreams in Peytonville. People really count on her.
Seems like she's a local celebrity.
She's a local legend.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
At Georgia Boot, we build our boots just like the people who wear them. Tough, dependable, and hardworking. You need a boot that you can count on. That's why Georgia Boot always uses rich, full-grain leathers and comfort insoles to maximize your all-day comfort. We've been building boots that way since 1937. You pick the best tools for the job. Why would your boots be any different? Georgia Boot is America's hardest-working boot. Go to georgiaboot.com to see our latest promotions or to find a dealer near you.
More of Our Ohio Weekly with Ty Higgins next.
Thank you for listening to Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins. The American Farm Bureau Federation County Activities of Excellence Awards are given out every year to celebrate unique, local, volunteer-driven programs that serve as models of innovation for local program development. We had, out of the 60 entries across all categories, 12 activities nationwide being selected, four of them coming from right here in the state of Ohio, more than any other state in the U.S. Henry County enjoyed one of those awards for their Farmer and Landowner Appreciation Dinner. Roy Norman joins me. He's the Organization Director for Williams, Fulton, Defiance, and Henry County Farm Bureaus. Roy, how you doing?
Great, Ty. Happy to be with you today.
Congrats on this award. I know it's well-deserved because this award was much needed. It happened back in 2019. Tell me how it all came about.
Well, first, thank you for the recognition, and all the praise goes to our members. I'm just fortunate enough to work with a great group of volunteers who come up with these ideas and put things together. When you look at how our award got started, in 2019 up in Northwest Ohio, we had a tremendous rain year in the spring. And in a lot of places, more than 50% of the crop did not get planted. And in some cases, individual farmers didn't get anything planted and had to take prevented planting and rely on crop insurance and things like that. We had a lot of farmers that really were just getting depressed throughout the year. Because of not being able to get their crops planted. And then, believe it or not, some of the folks that got things planted actually suffered some pretty good dry weather later in the summer. And so all that stress built up, and we just thought that some of our members came together and thought that there needed to be an opportunity for farmers just to gather for an opportunity of fellowship and thanks and just an opportunity to talk with friends and neighbors about and share that, what they had gone through last year.
Yeah, I guess commiserate would be the word that I would use for this particular dinner, and just kind of share those war stories of what was a really tough year. So you have this dinner, landowners and farmers from all around the county come and join you. How many were there, and kind of set the scene for us?
Well, Dan Brubaker, a Henry County member, Nate Blake, our Henry County Farm Bureau president, came up with this idea. And so we started working with other organizations like Extension and crop insurance folks and USDA, FSA office people to learn about the programs that were coming out from the federal government last year, the disaster declarations. So we put together a program, and then we had several hundred area farmers come to the event. We provided a meal. We had prayers. We had discussions about crop insurance, had discussion about mental health, and we talked about government programs and put all that together. And then when it was all over, Ty, we just kind of sat back and just adjourned and just let the farmers tell some of their own stories, how they were coping, people that they were reaching out to for help, and about how they plan to get through that tough year and look forward to 2020. Of course, at that time, we hadn't heard about COVID yet. This year provides its own challenges for us. But that's pretty much how it all came together.
Such a great event, and it's all about what Ohio Farm Bureau does best, and that's bringing the community together to support one another. And that effort garnered you this County Activities of Excellence Award from the American Farm Bureau Federation. What do you get for this award?
Well, in a normal year, we would be represented in person at the American Farm Bureau annual meeting. This year, it'll be in San Diego in January. This year, because of COVID, we'll be presenting virtually. So our program will be recognized. We'll have a couple of hours where we'll be on the internet, available to members throughout the United States to reach out to us to learn more about how we organize the event, what was included in the event, so that these ideas are shared across the country, and maybe somebody will piggyback on it and use it at their own County Farm Bureau level in 2021.
Great event from Henry County, the Farmer and Landowner Appreciation Dinner, picking up the American Farm Bureau Federation County Activities of Excellence Awards. Roy Norman, the organization director for Williams, Fulton, Defiance, and Henry County. A job well done, and thanks for all you do there for your community, Roy.
Thank you very much, Ty, for taking the opportunity to interview us and your support. We're just happy to be a part of this great organization.
Our Ohio Weekly is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. And produced by Ohio Farm Bureau, working together for Ohio farmers to advance agriculture and strengthen our communities. Be sure to visit Our Ohio Weekly's podcast page to listen to previous episodes at ofbf.org/Our Ohio Weekly.
One last plug here for our annual meeting that starts on Monday, ofbf.org/AM2020. I'm Ty Higgins. We'll see you down the road.